Pray for the next few moments, Lord God, that you'd move on the ears of the hearers this morning, Lord God. I pray this morning, Father God, you give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray this morning that you would illuminate my mind and loosen my tongue. Let me only say, thus saith the word of God. Let me preach no more and nothing less but Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray this morning for the ones that are sick. And the ones that are hurting, Lord, I pray you touch them in a real good way. Father, I pray you talk to that one that's walked in. Maybe they're lost. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they're undone. Maybe old Satan has spoke to them this week. Lord, I pray that you just speak to their spirit and let them know that you're in the house, Father, that you're right here amongst us this morning, Father. Lord, I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let me speak only about you and nobody else, Father. Lord, I thank you for this word, and I thank you that you're present here today. Lord God, I thank you that you are here today, and Lord God, we don't take that for granted. We lift up the name of Jesus. Have your will and way in the next few moments. In the time of invitation, let people come and do business with you. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we come this morning in Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 17. If you'll remember in Mark chapter number 2, it said, and there was no room about the door. And they tried to carry that their lame friend to Jesus, and they could not get him there. Hey, because people were everywhere. But Luke's account's a little different than it was in the book of Mark. Luke said this. He said that they heard and they knew that the presence of God was there, that the Spirit of God was in the house. But I want you to get this morning, that the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were sitting by and they were listening to Jesus. You say, preacher, who is that? The Pharisees would be the religious crowd. They'd want to talk about a man being saved, want to talk about a man being healed. They would want to try to reason everything out. They would want to know how it would happen and for reason and rhyme. And then there you had the doctors sitting there. There was a bunch of know-it-alls that thought they knew everything. Hey, can I say to you, when Jesus is in the house, you can throw what you know out the window. Can I get an amen? Hey, you can throw what you know out the window when Jesus shows up. You can throw your religion out the door. You can throw all that out the door. He don't want you to be religious. He wants you to have a relationship with him this morning. And as we come, we see that the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were sitting by and they were listening to Jesus, and the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present. I say to you, anytime God the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is present, the wonder-working power is present in that place. When the power of the Lord is present, it will provide some things that you and I desperately need. I'm talking about when the power of God sits down in a place, it'll provide some things that you need and I need. You say, preacher, what is that? I say that every Christian needs this in their life, and that's number one. It'll provide passion in your life. It'll provide a passion that'll come into your life. I want to ask you, when was the last time you told somebody, hey, you need to get where Jesus is, you need to get where the Holy Ghost is, you need to get with God, you need God in your life, you need God to move on everything that you got going on? You say, preacher, what are you talking about this morning? Look with me, if you will, in verse number 18 of what he said here in Luke chapter number 5. Here's what he said. He said, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. He had a friend that was sick and he needed to get to Jesus. And he said this. He said, and they sought means to bring him in. There's that passion. They sought means. Whatever it took, they was going to get their friend to Jesus. I ask you this morning, would you be willing to have a passion like that? No matter what it takes, no matter what it costs you, no matter what you have to do, you'll get your friend to Jesus. I thank God that there was a time in my life, hey, somebody brought me to Jesus. How can I get an amen? Hey, when I couldn't go to him and I didn't know where he was, I had somebody that would grab my hand and lead me right to where Jesus is. You say, preacher, do you believe that this morning? I sure do. Man, we need people full of passion and what God can do in their life. And this morning they was looking for that. They had that. They wanted to get to where they sought means, whatever it took to get him to Jesus. Hey, but can I say to you, they didn't only seek means, but they sought a miracle. Hey, their friend was at the point that he needed a miracle. He'd been laying there for over 30 years in that place, and he needed a miracle, and the only body that could provide that miracle is Jesus Christ. And as he got here, look at this, and behold, men brought him in a bed and which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and bring him and lay him before him. I ask you this morning, do you need a miracle in your life? If you do, you need to lay it before Jesus. It won't happen unless it's at the feet of Jesus. You say, preacher, you don't know what's going on. You know, the power of God can't help me. The power of God can't deliver me. I say to you, anything's over your head is under his feet. Can I get an amen? Anything that's overwhelming you, anything that's overtook you, it will never overtake Jesus, and it'll never overwhelm him this morning. Oh man, it provides passion in a person's life. They sought means, whatever it took. They sought a miracle. They laid him before Jesus. But can I say to you, they sought the Master. Not only did they want a miracle, but they sought the Master. Here's what he said. They heard that he could heal them. They heard that he could heal. You say, preacher, how did they know? In Luke chapter number 4, go back just one little chapter here. And Jesus had just come out of the wilderness. Oh, Satan had done gave him a run for his money. But I want you to know the Word of God was alive in his life. And he defeated Satan, not only in the wilderness, but he defeated him on the cross. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord, here's what he said in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted this morning? He can heal you. Oh, to preach deliverance to the captives. Are you bound up in deliverance? Are you bound up in something you need to be delivered from? He can deliver you this morning. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He said, preacher, what does that mean? They done heard the word. They done heard what Jesus can do. I say to you, every Sunday people sit in this place that is bound up in addiction and bound up in things in their life. And they hear me say week in and week out, all you've got to do is bring it to Jesus. All you've got to do is bring it to the feet of Jesus. And they get up and walk back out them doors the same way they come in. You say, preacher, why don't they receive deliverance? Why ain't they set free? Because they've never laid it at the feet of Jesus Christ. I've never seen anybody lay their problems and their pain and everything they got going on in persecution that is in their life, that they've come to Jesus. I'm talking about coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about coming to the Master, Brother Kevin. I'm talking about coming dining at his feet that has laid it down and didn't leave different once they laid it down. He said that passion was there. They had heard that Jesus could heal. They had heard that Jesus could help them. They heard that Jesus was there, and all they had to do was get their friend to Jesus. Man, you're talking about a passion. These old boys, they climbed up on the roof. When was the last time you climbed on the roof for one of your friends? When was the last time you went the extra mile? The Bible says, go twain, go 2 miles. Can I say to you this morning, the extra mile will always not be crowded. There'll never be a crowd on that extra mile in the world we live in. People don't want to go the extra mile. They don't want to go the extra step. They don't want to help that person. They don't want to go that extra step. But these old buddies, they said, hey, we can't do nothing for you, but we know a man who can. We heard about him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They said, we know an old man can help you. Hey, this morning I want you to know, I know a man that can help you, amen. His name is Jesus. If you just get there to where he is, he had passion to get there. And they said they got there and they started taking the tile off the roof, Brother Austin. They started tearing up what was holding them back. They started removing things that were there that was keeping him from getting to Jesus. You say, preacher, what does that mean? There's going to be some things in your life if you're going to get to Jesus that you're going to have to get out of the way to get there. You say, I thought I'd come dirty and he cleans me up. It does, but there's a lot of pride that keeps passion from moving in your life. If I go to that altar, they know I'll have a problem. If they go to that altar, they'll know that something ain't right in my life. If I go in that altar, guess what? I don't care what they think. Amen. They will send you to hell. When you get worried about what they think, you'll get wound up in what they quit. Don't worry about what they think. Worry about what the Master thinks. Amen. And they said they got him to where Jesus was. They tore the roof off. They tore the roof off that place. They didn't care what it was going to cost them. They was going to get him to Jesus. You know what? Today I can tell you this is, if you know somebody that needs help, take them to Jesus. Don't give them your thought or your opinion. It ain't worth a whole lot. I've had a lot of good people give me really good advice, but it didn't work in my life. You know what the people you'd be weary of is the ones that say, I tell you what I'd do. You watch the ones that tells you what I'd do. Because most time the one that tells you I know what I'd do, they wouldn't do it if they was in that position. But I can tell you one thing this morning. If you'll get to Jesus, he'll heal your life. I want you to look at this. They tear the roof off and they let the man down to Jesus. They went for a healing, but Jesus seen something totally different. Jesus said he looked up and he said, man. The Bible said men brought him to Jesus. But when he looked up, he seen a man. The friends, he didn't see the friends. He saw the man. And you know what he told him? He said, thy sins be forgiven. Who in the world is talking about sins? He's sick. We're trying to get him healed. He is sick and we're trying to get him healed. We're wanting a miracle. We want God to do something. We want Jesus to do something. And he's worried more about sin. Can I say to you, he's still worried about that today? We're bound up in a world that we want everybody healed, everybody fixed. Everybody in this room is going to die one day. Everybody in this room is going to die. You're going to be laid down one day. And it ain't going to matter how good you took care of this body. It's going to matter if your sin has been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus knew that. He knew that if he healed that man and he went on and his sin wasn't forgiven, Brother Les, he was going to die one day. That man died one day. But can I say to you, he died with his sin forgiven. The question is, ain't if you're going to die, is are you going to die with your sin forgiven? That's the question. Look here with me. I see not only did it move with passion, when the power of God's in a place, you'll see the passion, but you'll also be provided a pardon. Set free. Look what he said in verse number 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man. You see, when he was coming down, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He said, preacher, what did that mean? That was a real pardon. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Never to be brought up again. Never to be brought up again. Hebrews 8:12, the Bible says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Psalm 103:12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Jeremiah 31:34, the Bible says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, for the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Revelation 1:5, the Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody had a passion to get their friend to Jesus. And can I say, when the power of God's in the house, a pardon will be there. I want to say to you this morning that I don't know about you, but I sure am glad I've been pardoned. I've been set free. Tetelestai, it is finished. It's finished. When he saved my soul that day, he washed my sin as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. He said, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that 110%. I believe that when God the Father looks down on me, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ wrapped up in his royalty, wrapped up in his righteousness, wrapped up in his blood. And I believe that this morning. I want to say to you this morning that not only do you see the passion, and not only do you see the pardon, and you say, preacher, what do I have to do to get that? You have to get to where Jesus is. Nobody else can set you free. Nobody else can deliver you. Nobody else can do what you need done in your life. This morning, the pardon only comes from Jesus. Said there was a man on death row, and this man, they got to the point he was going to be pardoned. He'd done spent all of his time, and it was time to get to the end. They found him not guilty. They found him to the place that he was not guilty, but he'd been on death row for many years. And he had a lot of hatred in his heart because he had wasted all of his life on death row. And all of his life, he I'm telling you, he was bitter. He was angry. He had all that resentment inside. And does that remind you of anybody? Man, I remember when I was lost, I was bitter, I was angry, and I had a lot of resentment toward God. I didn't want nothing to do with him. I didn't want nothing to do with him, but the grace of Jesus Christ come flooding in. And said this man was there, and they come to his cell. The judge had set him free, said he's pardoned. He's free. All he has to do is accept it. He can go free. And said when he got there, the jailer went in and said, son, you're free. He said, I've spent all my life here. He said, I'm used to this. This is the life I've lived. I'm used to the mess that I'm in. He said, yeah, but you was found innocent. All you have to do is just walk out. All you have to do is go to the judge. He's going to set you free. He said, I don't want to be set free. I don't want to be pardoned. I don't want to be free. I said, they went back before the judge. The judge said, where is he at? Why didn't he come? And they said, here was his remarks and here was his words. He didn't want to be set free. He didn't want the pardon. He didn't want that in his life. He wanted what was coming toward him. He didn't want to be set free. And said the judge sat there and said he'd never heard that before. Can I say to you, Jesus hears it all the time. The Holy Ghost beats on your heart. Beats on your heart's door week in and week out. It is telling you, you need to be set free. You need to be pardoned. You need to be forgiven. And only the blood of Jesus can do it. And we sit there week in and week out and say, I don't want to be set free. I love the life I live. Do you know your flesh loves to be pleasured? By the way, your flesh loves to be pleasured. It never likes pain. It never likes conviction. It never likes that. and said, he said, I don't want to accept that pardon. He said, a judge never heard anybody reject the pardon. And they went and said, what are we going to do, judge? The judge sat there a minute and he said, I know exactly what we do. I know exactly what happens when they reject the pardon. He said, a pardon rejected is not a pardon at all. A pardon that is rejected is not a pardon at all. He said, preacher, what does that mean? If you reject the blood of Jesus Christ, you will not be pardoned. You will not be pardoned. You will have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You'll have to spend eternity with the devil and his angels. It was not, I want you to know, hell was not made for you and I. It was made for the devil and his angels, but you have to receive that pardon. You have to receive what Jesus Christ can do in your life. I see there was a passion. There was a passion. I see it provides a pardon. Man, set free. Who in here is set free this morning? Man, I'm telling you, you don't have to walk very far to tell somebody's free or not. You see it on their face, amen? But I want you to know this. When you receive a pardon, you will also receive a promotion. Oh, I'm glad I didn't have to stay where I was. Amen. Somebody talk to me. Boy, come on, talk to me this morning. I'm glad I ain't where I was at. Amen. I'm glad I've been set free. Maybe getting gray, Paul. Maybe getting bald headed, but I ain't where I was. Amen. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. And he promoted me. He said, what'd he promote you over? Over my sin. What had me bound down, shackled down, he promoted me over it. No longer does that needle take authority over my life. No longer does that dope take authority over my life. No longer does porn. No longer does them things. No longer does them addictions. No longer does that. What takes over? The blood of Jesus. No longer them things. I've been set free. Them things ain't over me. They're under me. I've been promoted by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. If they're over you, you need to get somewhere this morning. You say, do you believe that, preacher? I believe that 100%. Let me show you this. Not only did he receive a pardon, but he received a promotion, and there's proof. Anybody that's ever been to Jesus, you ought to have proof that you're free, that you've been set free. I tell them all the time at the drug rehab we go to, you can go to Marion County and find out anything you want to about Brother BJ. His past is there. The only difference, I'm not there. You can find my past. You can go look it up right now. You can look up anything you want to about me. And you'll find my past there, but you won't find me there. Folks, I'm not living in my past. I'm living in my future. I'm not on the defense, Brother Les. I'm on the offense. I'm not getting hit. I'm hitting. Amen. I'm going against Satan. Man, I'm telling you what, he's a loser, and I want to remind him of it because he knows he's limited, and he's trying to wear you and wear me out. But greater is he that is in me and in you than he's in the world. He said, preacher, you sure he got a promotion? I guarantee you that old boy did. He laid lame all his life. He had somebody had enough unction about him, enough passion and enough care. You see somebody slipping, you know what? It ain't none of my business. I just don't need to get in that. Oh gosh, I just don't need to get in it. 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 You know, did you hear about so-and-so? You didn't, it ain't none of my business. I don't need to get in it, but did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know so-and-so? Am I talking to anybody this morning? And then when everything breaks loose, I can't believe that happened. Instead of going to that person and saying, hey, I got enough passion and compassion for you, I don't want you to go down that road. I don't want you to go down that road. I never forget, me and my mama, we went up Coontown over here, Cobbtown. Y'all know what Cobbtown is? Mama come got me and she said, we need to ride, we need to talk. Listen to me this morning, talking to somebody, gonna help you. Got going up the road, easing up that road. Mama said, son, you need to straighten up. You need to straighten up. You need to quit living that life. This years ago, I said, you're going to get in trouble. You need to go get in trouble. And I told Mama, I said, blank happens, Mama. I was lost. Blank happens, Mama. Mama's crying. Mama couldn't pardon me. She had compassion for me, but she couldn't pardon me. When I got locked up, first thing I did, I asked Brandy, I said, did you call Mama? Huh? I'm in trouble now. I need Mama. She said, yeah, I called you, Mama. I said, what did Mama say? She come to get me out. She said, no, she said, tell you, blank happens. You don't know what you need till you ain't got it. You don't know what you don't know. Listen to me. You're in here this morning. You can get what you need at the feet of Jesus. You can get it this morning. You can be set free at the feet of Jesus this morning. Let me show you this in the text. Man, this just gets all over me right here. Look what he said here. If you will, in verse number 23, he said, whether for it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, here's the promotion. I say unto thee, arise, get up. Quit staying where you're at and wallowing what you're in. Get up, take up your couch, and go to your house. So, preacher, what was that promotion? Get up. Quit wallowing in your mess. Quit wallowing in your pity. Get up. Let me talk to the men for a minute. If you're a man, get up. If you're a daddy, be a daddy. If you're a husband, be a husband to the wife you're married to. Be what God's called you to be. Do what God's called you to do. Get up. Not only get up, but take up. Take up responsibility. He said, get up, take up. You have to get up before you can ever take anything up. Get up, take up. And I love this. He said, go up. He said, I say unto thee, get up, take up your couch, and go to your house. Provides the proof. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When the power of the Lord is present, you have the opportunity to see folks move with passion, receive a full pardon, and get promoted in the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll never forget. Man, I get hung up on this. I can't help it. I can't help it. What he saved me from, I can't get over it. There's a lot of people got different ministries. I know they do. They got ministries of whatever, teaching or whatever. All I got is ministry of, man, you just need to be delivered. Give it to Jesus. Don't worry about everything else. He's going to take care of it. For 17 years, he's been the master of my life. He just leads it, guides it, protects it, and moves it. Pray about it. He moves it out of the way, and we keep marching. Can I get a witness? He said, preacher, you got a lot of faith. I got a small faith. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She knows it's small. Ooh, me. There's times I get on. I said, baby, I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, he done brought you too far. Quit worrying about it. I said, yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. I like to get in a pity party, don't y'all? Oh, I like it. You don't believe me? That's Sister April Cagle back there. Income tax time. I said, Sister, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Can you help me? Any? She said, you ought to take care of that throughout the year, preacher. Huh? But I'll never forget. I'll never forget in my life the day that Jesus pardoned me. I still had a court date. I still had a court date. I still had all the stuff to go through. I was still paying fines. I was still doing everything. Nothing changed, but on the inside, immediately. I was pardoned immediately. When I come up from there, I was like, they was right. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I come up from there, and it was right. It was right. And we moved on, and we moved on, and we moved on. And I seen two men had compassion for me after I'd been with Jesus. One of them was Luke Sproul on River Road. He's dead and gone on to be with the Lord. Another one was Larry Scott. He's dead and gone on to be with the Lord. I don't know what could have held my future, but I do know this, that you get elevated. Not only do you get to the place that compassion's there, that passion, that pardon, there's a promotion and there's proof. I didn't ask them two men. I didn't beg them two men. I didn't plead with them two men. I didn't do nothing. God moved on them. God moved on them. Both of them had businesses to lose. Hello? And they took a chance. An old boy in Detroit wasn't worth a whole lot of nothing. But God knew he needed to be saved. And they went and stood before the judge for me. And here was the words, Brother Mike Lindley. Here was their words. Two men that was done aged, way up in their age, a lot older. And they wouldn't stood before the judge for me. And here's what they told him. They said, that boy's been saved, and we can see the change. Well, wouldn't it have been pitiful if they said, that boy's been saved, but there ain't been no change. He's still cussing, acting crazy, going all over the world doing crazy things, still doing dope, still acting crazy. Would they have went for me? They wouldn't went to bat for me. No, sir. But they said, that boy's been saved. And we see the change. So, preacher, what did that mean to you? It meant the world. What meant the world to you, preacher, that you got off the hook? No. What meant the world to me is they said, we see the change. If you go on down there and read the book, here's what they said in there. Keep on reading down. I read it a while ago. The last verse said, and they were astonished because they had seen some strange... Brother Eric, read it right there. Because they had seen some strange things. Have you ever seen anything strange in your life? Have you ever been to a place where you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this and something strange happened? A lot of people call it coincidence. I call it God. I call it God when he just reached in there and he said, here, somebody had, you got compassion. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you with this person. I'm going to pardon them. Here's the proof. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there any proof in your life that you've been pardoned? Is there any proof in your life that you've been pardoned? Maybe it's been a long time since you thanked him for that pardon. Let me tell you, when the world's against you and hell's coming on you, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost of heaven reaches down and just sets you free, you can't get over it. You get you a case of them, I just can't help myself, amen? If you're in here this morning, you're lost, you need Jesus, I ask you to come to this altar, give your life to Jesus. If you're in here and you say, preacher, it's been so long since I thanked him for setting me free. Well, if you've ever been set free, you know what I'm talking about. And the only way you can be set free is that the power of God is in the house. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We lift up your name. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than at the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the compassion that's in this place right now, all over this place, that people's praying for the one that might be hurting, the one that might need help, the one that might need to be set free. Father God, we've not come here to lift up no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray right now for that one that needs a pardon. Lord God, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, tired of where they're at, tired of what they're tied up in, and they want to be set free. Father, Lord, I pray for that person. Father, I pray for that one that needs a promotion, that needs to get up from where they're at. And Lord God, you move in their life in a mighty way. Lord, I pray for that one right now that's got proof. Whoa, glory, that's got proof. Lord God, I pray they share that proof with somebody that they can say that I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. There's power, power, power in the blood of Jesus. Touch that one that's hurting. Help them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. And all of God's people say, amen.